You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, July 8, 2026. Money for nothing. Strong margins for minerals, royalty firms, spur consolidation, and an IPO. Published by Tom Birakri. About a year ago, we chronicled the performance of publicly traded companies holding oil and gas mineral and royalty interests, the approximately 20% of gross revenues generated from wells without responsibility for the costs associated with development and production. M&A activity in the minerals royalty space, which peaked in 2018 to 2019, quieted during a prolonged post-pandemic wave of major E&P consolidation. As rising realizations for both oil and natural gas have recently boosted cash flows, the minerals/royalty sector has seen both the first major consolidation of the publicly traded firms as well as a recent successful initial public offering, or IPO, that harkens additional entrants to the arena. In today's RBN blog, we update our comparison of the performance of these entities with traditional E&Ps, analyze the valuation trends for each mineral royalty company, and review significant transaction market activity. Before we dive deeper on this, let's quickly define a few key terms and explain in simple terms the financial side of well development and who gets what money-wise from a producing well. First, some definitions. Mineral interests are the exclusive rights to the minerals, including oil and natural gas, found on, in, or beneath a piece of land. These rights may be leased to companies that extract oil and gas but are retained in perpetuity and survive the lease. Royalty interests are payments to mineral interest holders negotiated as part of the lease and based on a percentage of oil and gas production. Royalty holders are not responsible for costs associated with oil and gas production except applicable taxes on revenue and have no abandonment or environmental liabilities. Royalty interests are terminated when the lease ends. Working interests constitute ownership of the remaining production from a lease. Working interest, or WI, owners are responsible for 100% of the costs of finding, developing, and producing oil and gas on the leasehold, as well as funding abandonment of the well and any environmental liabilities. In describing assets, E&P companies often identify their relative working interest, for example, 100% WIth.I, and the net revenue interest, 81.4% NRI, which reflects the total royalties paid. Because they don't incur production costs, companies that solely hold mineral and royalty interests retain a larger margin of their share of the net revenues derived from production than traditional E&Ps. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog, which compares the Q1 2026 income statements of seven publicly traded mineral royalty companies, generally referred to as royalty trusts, or RTs, four of them US-based: Viper Energy, Blackstone Minerals, Kimball Royalty Partners, and Dorchester Minerals, and three based in Canada: Prairie Sky Royalties, Freehold Royalties, and Topaz Energy, with the results of a universe of 34 major E&P companies that we cover. Note, we have excluded hybrid firms that have significant revenue streams other than oil and gas mineral royalty rights to simplify valuation calculations. Because of the virtual lack of production costs, the RTs generated pre-tax free cash flow of $37.32 per BOE, or 94% of net revenues, compared with $26.87 per BOE, or 70% of net revenues, for the E&Ps. Pre-tax net income for the RTs was 60% of net revenues, compared with 35% for the E&Ps. The margin advantage of RTs expands when costs rise quickly or when the price of commodities fall. The difference between the pre-tax income of royalty companies and the E&Ps was the narrowest when commodity prices peaked in 2022, but expanded again when prices fell in 2023 and 2024. The earnings results for 2025 were distorted by Viper Energy, by far the largest of the RTs, $17 billion enterprise value, which reported a net loss on $768 million in assets impairments related to aggressive acquisitions that doubled its asset base. The cash flow advantage of the RTs, $35.25 per BOE versus $22.21 per BOE for the E&Ps, was in line with historical results. Both RTs and E&Ps have generated strong results in Q1 2026, which are reflected in average total valuation gains of 24.4% and 22.2% respectively. The structural advantage provided by the lack of production costs, CapEx, and abandonment liabilities is translated by RTs into higher dividends. The average dividend yield of the seven publicly traded RTs is 7.1%, compared with 1.9% for the E&P companies we track. Those E&P yields don't reflect significant share repurchases, which totaled more than $2 billion in Q1 2026. Still, the higher returns translate into much higher valuation multiples for the RTs. The current average enterprise value per BOE produced for the 7 RTs is $123,789 compared with $38,375 per daily BOE produced for the 35 E&Ps. The RT's average enterprise value per BOE of proved reserves is $49.49 per BOE, compared with $10.26 per BOE for the E&Ps. These ratios are little changed from our last analysis a year ago, as both sectors have recorded significant valuation growth from generally higher gas prices and the more recent surge in oil prices from the conflict in the Middle East. Despite the margin advantages of holding mineral and royalty interests, the estimated $850 billion market is highly fragmented. The total enterprise value of the 7 publicly traded RTs is just $34 billion, or 4% of the total market. Although there are a myriad of private entities, including private equity firms, holding mineral and royalty rights, lack of scale has been a big barrier to launching significant initial public offerings and major consolidation through M&A. However, the last year has seen the first major multi-billion dollar consolidation deal in the sector as well as an IPO, the first in several years, the initial success of which could trigger additional offerings. The consolidator is Viper Energy, which was spun off from Permian Pure Play E&P Diamondback Energy in a June 2014 IPO to hold some of its mineral royalty interests. Diamondback, which has a market cap of $50 billion, has subsequently used asset dropdowns to Viper as part of its funding of major corporate and asset transactions. The rising revenues from Diamondback properties has allowed Viper to aggressively target third-party acquisitions. These culminated in Viper doubling its enterprise value, or EV, to $16.2 billion after the August 2025 closing of its $4.1 billion acquisition of CDO Royalties. CDO had been created in 2022 through the merger of three private equity funds, RTs and publicly traded Brigham Minerals. In early 2026, Viper divested its non-Permian assets, largely acquired in the CDO deal, to a private equity firm for $670 million. Viper's EV per daily BOE produced is $124,008, close to the peer group average. The company's Q1 2026 production was 50% oil, 24% NGLs, and 26% natural gas, one of the highest liquids weighting in the peer group. Notably, Viper's proven reserves are 22% undeveloped, a relatively high weighting among its peers that dampens its current EV per BOE of reserves. In 2023, the company broadened its investor base and differentiated itself from other RTs by changing its corporate structure from a Master Limited Partnership, MLP, to a C Corporation. The company's yield reflects the combination of a base dividend and a variable dividend influenced by commodity prices. The next three largest RTs in EV per daily BOE produced are Canada-based firms. Two, Prairie Sky Royalty and Topaz Energy, were, like Viper, spun off from larger E&Ps. Prairie Sky, EV $5.5 billion, was formed in 2014 to hold the mineral royalty interests of Encana, now Ovintiv, and now has the largest footprint of any RT in Canada and more than triple its holdings at its 2014 IPO. The company's EV per daily BOE produced of $206,286 reflects its relatively high liquids weighting, 60% of production, 92% of production revenue, and its low debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 0.6x. Its conservative payout ratio, 65% of free cash flow, indicates room to grow its current 7.0% dividend yield. Topaz Energy, EV $3.7 billion, was founded in 2019 to hold mineral royalty interests of Tourmaline Oil Corporation, Canada's largest natural gas producer. Topaz's current production is 70% gas-weighted. Unlike its peers, Topaz's portfolio holds fixed revenue contracts from midstream processing infrastructure, which generates an average 85% cash flow margin, compared to an average 20% for Canadian midstream firms, and contributed 25% of revenue in Q1 2026. The infrastructure revenue is a hedge against commodity price volatility, which partially accounts for the company's relatively high $151,135 per daily BOE produced despite its gas weighting. Topaz's current 4.3% dividend yield represents a conservative payout ratio of 65% of free cash flow. The third Canadian RT, Freehold Royalties, EV $2.1 billion, was founded in 1996 holding mineral rights in the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, or the WCSB, from a historic 1,670 land grant. In 2020, the firm expanded across the border with the first of several acquisitions of 1.1 million U.S. royalty acres, primarily in the Permian and Eagleford, that currently provide half its revenue. Freehold has the highest liquids weighting in the group at 65% of output, leading to a $135,214 EV per daily BOE valuation. The company currently yields 6.8% as it targets a conservative 60% payout ratio. The second largest U.S.-based RT after Viper, Blackstone Minerals, EV $3.1 billion, also emerged from a larger entity, in this case, W.T. Carter & Bro, a lumber company founded in 1876. In 1968, it sold its lumber interests and shifted its focus to the oil and gas mineral and royalty acres it had assembled. Blackstone subsequently completed an IPO in 2015. Today, the company has the highest gas weighting in the peer group at 73% produced from 7.4 million net mineral and royalty acres across the lower 48 states, with the Haynesville, Permian, and Bakken accounting for 66% of Q1 2026 revenue. Blackstone's EV per daily BOE produced of $86,509 reflects the higher gas weighting. The company's dividend yield, currently 8.7%, has varied with commodity prices over the past decade as it has generally maintained a payout ratio just under 100%. Kimball Royalty Partners, EV $2.0 billion, was formed in 1998 by Fort Worth-based investors to conclude a single deal in the Permian Basin, and subsequently evolved to become a multi-basin entity after completing an IPO in 2017. The firm's production is 65% liquids, tied for the highest weighting in the peer group with Viper, with half its revenue coming from the Permian and the other half from diverse holdings in other major shale plays. Kimball's current yield is nearly 11%, but is based on a variable dividend that is sensitive to commodity prices. Its relatively high debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 1.6x contributes to an EV per daily BOE ratio of $77,005, the lowest in the group. Dorchester Minerals, EV $1.2 billion, was formed in 2003 as a multi-basin mineral royalty firm, but a charter that prevented it from taking on any debt has put a limit on the size of its acquisition targets. The zero leverage results in a stable balance sheet. Its output is approximately 60% liquids, and similar to Kimball, has a variable dividend policy that results in payouts that swing significantly with commodity prices. An eighth company, Whitehawk Minerals, joined this peer group on June 5 with an IPO. Whitehawk was formed by the former CEO of Falcon Minerals, one of the merged firms that formed CDO Royalties. Whitehawk acquired significant natural gas-weighted assets in Appalachia, the Haynesville, and the Mid-Continent, including the $187 million acquisition of small, publicly traded PHX Minerals in 2025. In its June IPO, Whitehawk priced 7.7 million shares at $26 per share to raise $200 million. The stock has subsequently traded in the $27 to $28 per share range, a slight boost to the IPO price. Its current EV, including $270 million in debt, is slightly under $1 billion. Whitehawk's 2025 production of 50 MMcf/d was approximately 86% natural gas, 10% NGLs, and 4% oil, making it highly sensitive to natural gas prices. Management touts the strategic upside from rising LNG exports and AI power demand. The strength of the argument to investors is reflected in an estimated EV per daily BOE of production in the $100,000 to $110,000 range, significantly higher than its U.S. peers Blackstone, Kimball, and Dorchester. Whitehawk has yet to declare a dividend prior to the release of its Q2 2026 results, its first filing as a public company. The success to date of Whitehawk's IPO could stimulate future offerings of private mineral royalty portfolios that, in turn, could generate more consolidation in the sector. We will monitor activity over the next year. Money for Nothing was written by Mark Knopfler and Sting and appears as the second song on side one of Dire Straits' fifth studio album, Brothers in Arms. Knopfler was inspired to write the song by comments from an employee at a New York City appliance store about an MTV video playing on one of the store's television sets, Money for Nothing and Chicks for Free. Sting makes an appearance on the song, singing I Want My MTV to the melody of The Police's Don't Stand So Close to Me. Released as the second single from the LP in June 1985, it went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It won the band a Grammy Award in 1986 and the Video of the Year Award at the third annual MTV Video Music Awards. Personnel on the record were Mark Knopfler, lead vocals, guitar, John Ilsley, bass, backing vocals, Guy Fletcher, synthesizer, synclavier, Keyboards, Alan Clark, Hammond Organ, Terry Williams, Drum Intro, Omar Hakim, Drums, and Sting, Vocals. Brothers in Arms was recorded at Air Studios in Montserrat between October 1984 and February 1985, and produced by Mark Knopfler and Neil Dorfman. The album was released in May 1985 and went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart, where it stayed for 9 weeks. It has been certified 9X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 5 singles were released from the LP. Dire Straits was a British rock band formed in London in 1977 by Mark Knopfler, David Knopfler, John Ilsley, and Pick Withers. They were active from 1977 to 1988 and again from 1991 to 1995. 12 members passed through the band since their formation, with Mark Knopfler always at the helm. They released 6 studio albums, 5 live albums, 3 compilation albums, 3 EPs and 31 singles and have sold more than 100 million records worldwide. Dire Straits has won 4 Grammy Awards, 3 Brit Awards and 2 MTV Video Music Awards and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mark Knopfler continues as a solo artist and retired from touring after a final concert at Madison Square Garden in September 2019. His latest album, One Deep River, was released in April 2024.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.